Members, you want to ask more questions? The DG is still sitting here. Oh, we boy, did you now you're confusing us. You're changing chairs now. Oh, I thought you have crossed the floor to you have crossed the floor to another organization. I was getting worried now. Okay. Honorable Ngobo. But before you, Mamun Ngobo, there was Mamun Thuli. She had her hand up before. So you are going to follow, and then Umemore wants to answer the nepotism in the Gauteng. Okay, let's start with you, Mamun Thuli.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, DG, and your financial guru there. yes, I think that what is happening now, the presentation and the discussion coming from the department, really, one has to say that it gives one hope. Yeah, it really does. I must say that I belong in the department, even if it's been on and off, but
Mantuli,
I belong in the
Mantuli, they need volume.
Yeah, in the profession.
Bring it closer to you. In fact, I noticed DJ had opened two gadgets there. Maybe you need to open two of your gadgets.
So I want to say thank you very much, and really, it's very, very hopeful, which makes it a huge responsibility that now we're putting on your shoulders once you start talking like that. Thank you. Now, most of what I had noted myself during the presentation has actually been alluded to, is to add your voice, perhaps for emphasis and for making it clear that we as practitioners there of making sure that the health improves, this is what really bothers us perhaps more than anything else. I just want to go to the matter of the cancer screening. We talked of the breast cancer and cervical cancer. Is there anything to be done, perhaps regarding prostate cancer, because that's another area too where really it's there, and it shouldn't be. And then we've all so far commented on TB, because it is a real, real serious problem in health in our country. Now, DG, when you refer, because you may be referring to the same thing, when you talk of TB and I think you case chasing, I don't know whether it's the same as contact chasing. Because, in my days, there was a lot of emphasis on contact chasing, which may be different to case chasing, because I take it case chasing are people who are already perhaps there, and you're chasing to see to it that they're taking the treatment or whatever, but I would like some clearing on that. Because contact chasing, to me, it seems we lost it somewhere. And I don't know what you think, because to me it seems very, very, very relevant that when there's somebody in the home who has TB, we'll assume that everybody else in that house has got TB. So obviously the thing is to go and do this for the children. What do you call that thing now? The one with HIV test, yes, and X-ray the adults and all that. And I believe that had, it should have a good effect, really, in trying to. But at some point, I did ask in the health portfolio, in the health committee, why contact chasing didn't seem to be relevant anymore. And then I was told that the drugs now that are being used, because even people are discharged from hospitals before they are checked that they are negative, you know, sputum negative three times. They get treatment for a week or two and then they're out. And I was told then that the drugs that are being used now do not really require, you know, much. After 2 weeks or so, they'll be okay even if they're let out there and return to work. So there's some confusion there, but I'm just wanting to hear about contact chasing, whether it's got any place now, because I believe it has. And then the early treatment would come as a, you know, a consequence of contact chasing. What you get then there, it means that you do in fact get people to be treated early on. And now, like the chair there, I was concerned about 700 million to primary health care and the skewed thing of billions to, yeah, but it's been discussed, and I think that you took some time on that one, and I'm quite satisfied with what you said. Now, the revitalization program or hospital bleeding program. Now, is it really... I mean, we have it now that it's got so much and so on and so forth. But is it really going to be able to take off and happen if we haven't got enough engineers and we haven't got enough project managers, people trained to make it happen? I'll just ask the question and stop there. Now, on school health, one feels that this is very, very important, and perhaps we haven't done much by way of school health. And myself, I would like to know where that is, you know, where it is, because it is really critical that the school health program gets going. And I want to talk about hospital managers. You mentioned, for instance, that you can't have a standard, I think you said standard 8, go level 8, manage a hospital, but it's happening all the time. Now, when we were here, I did not see anywhere where it really talks to training, for instance, of you know, hospital managers, because I feel that unless the hospitals are managed with people who can manage the hospitals, we'll lose the battle. Yeah. So to me, that is quite important. But looking here, I did not see that there is any mention of them specifically, and that worries me a bit. I think the other things I will leave out, except to add my voice on the condom issue. The policy we have is that we want women to feel that they are empowered and equal to men. We can't get it if we have skewed things like that happening. It really, you can see the reaction coming from, you know, everybody, that it's of great concern. Women have to be empowered, so that there should be a correction of the skewed situation there as to the money given to the one and not the other. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Lutuli. It's a pity that you raised the point of condoms when the two gentlemen that started it are not here. But it doesn't matter, they'll get the message that you raised it. You know, DJ, about the TB, the Mantu test, those that we are doing, or the HIV test, and TB and HIV. I'm told that if you are HIV positive, even without immunodeficiency, then you've got a high chance of getting TB. even if you have not even a compromise. But now with the HIV test and the MAD2 test, they give you a reaction based on your immune system. Yeah. So in rural areas where there's poverty, you might find that somebody goes off negative, only to find that it's immunocompromised situation. And I'm not sure how much will it help us now that we've got I'm at 18% of people being HIV positive. I'm not sure how much can we rely on the statistics of the HIV test and the MANTU. The MANTU, as to Dr. MANTU Shabalansana, but the MANTU test. So, but I'm just making that comment. But you don't have to answer that one. It's just honourable.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks, DG. You've brought a breath of fresh air into the department, and thanks. I might just be, MDGs, we are definitely not going to reach our goals by 2014, but from your estimation, where are we as far as the MDGs are concerned? We are short of registrars. Is there any funding that is set aside for registrars which is equal to vacant posts, or the funding will be solicited once you get them? And to deviate a bit, but to be on point, you seem to be getting quite a substantial budget. What monitoring mechanism are in place to ensure that the money goes where it's needed? Monitoring mechanisms. And what mechanisms do you have in place to monitor fraud again? Because it's quite a substantial amount of money for a change. And what rollovers do you have from the previous time, and what was the cost of those rollovers? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, ma'am. You know, there was a question that I was going to ask you, DJ. When I was a registrar, the salary that I was getting was far less than the salary of the medical officer. But now I know you have mentioned that there's money put aside for registrars. So many posts, but in that money, is it going to be like it used to happen to us? I'm very old now, probability has changed. Are the registrars going to get less than the medical officer, or they're going to get better? Because our belief was that, yes, registrars, we should have got more than the medical officer, but we're getting less, hence most of the people were not specializing, because the salaries were very low for registrars. It was only those who are used to poverty, like myself, who continued irrespective of the little money that they had. In fact, that brings the point that I think Mangombo, she mentioned something about registrars and their salary. I'm not sure whether I heard you wrong, but you have mentioned something, and Mangombo is asking the same question that you had already answered. But okay, Memor.
Thank you very much. Thank you, DG. I want to concur with everybody who said, you know, you bring hope into this department. Actually, you and your team, because you cannot do it alone, definitely. Thank you very much for your efforts. My only hope is the implementation, because that's where we mostly fail when it comes to this. That's why I've been saying only if people can listen to you. And I said something to say, those who don't work, fire. The committee will be behind you. thank you, Chair. You know, the chairperson spoken about something about salaries. Now it reminded me of something. It's out of this meeting, but I'll just, if you can answer, it's fine. If you can't, it's fine. In radiography, for instance, people who specialize in ultrasound, nuclear medicine, they still earn the same with people who didn't specialize. I just want to know, the OSD for them, is it going to address that? If you can answer, it's fine. If you can't, because it's something outside our presentation. And then the other thing, the three districts that you've spoken to about the chronic care, I mean, which district are those, how were they chosen? Is it based on maybe a certain research done to say, you know, this will be the pilot district or whatever? And then the TB program, there used to be people who were on the field giving people TB treatment to ensure that they take it, blah, blah, blah. What is the progress on that, and what happened, you know? And when we were talking about the systems that are being reviewed, you didn't mention the second system. I was waiting to write it down. You just went on to explain around the systems that you're reviewing. You've spoken about the PAP, yeah. You didn't say it exactly what is it, so I'll be interested to just have an idea. And then the other one around hospital, actually it's not a hospital revitalization, because this one is hospital, new hospital building. The Zola Hospital or something in Jablani. Can you give us some idea what is happening around it? Because at some stage it was stopped. It couldn't continue because of faulty or whatever, corrupt tender processes or something like that. Just give us an overview to say how far is that. And then, oh, the female condom use in jail. Okay, we've spoken about that during the break. Oh, the DBSA survey on CEO's assessment. What is going to happen now that you've got the results? I mean, is that part of the restructuring that was spoken to the previous meeting? And just give us a gist to say, what do you think you're going to do, blah, blah, blah. Because I must say it's going to be difficult to remove, like, the Frere one who's a counselor, you know, making him maintain his salary. There's so much involved when you move people out of their positions or maybe try to train him or whatever, I don't know. And then I'm also worried with the proportion of the admin versus the operational people to say, is there a plan in place from the department to say, okay, fine, now that we've got more admin, what happens if one admin person maybe resigns or pensions? Do you replace? What do you do? You know what I mean? Or do you restructure, you know, the job descriptions of other people to include maybe work, unless it's very specific to say HR, because you cannot take HR duties and give it to what, finance, something like that. But there are those whose job actually can be done by anyone. There's those positions that are purely, I don't want to say administrative, because HR, finance, everything's administrative. But there's those types of jobs that you can, you know, spread across. Do you have a plan in place, or, you know, you're still working on such things? And then when you talk about your cervical, breast, prostate cancers, when you deal with women, I'm not sure if the department has got the comprehensive women health system or program, blah, 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 where we also include the pap smear, because we have to do the preventative, not only addressing issues as they come, you know. The obesity issue, I mean, it's there, unfortunately. You know, I don't know. That one is just a comment or suggestion to say maybe when you look into other things, let's at times try to get to the root, because certain things, to be honest, are caused by obesity. That's where everything starts, the lifestyles, blah, blah, blah. That's why primary health care is very important. And I'm very grateful that yourself, the department, and our Minister of Health actually have also spoken about the issues of PHC and tertiary services balance, because they're so dependable on each other. But we've always been saying as a committee that PHC first, but at times things won't happen the way we plan, blah, blah, blah. You address where there's problems. And I appreciate that you guys are aware that we've been doing a lot of damage control approach instead of, you know, active approach of planning, you know, implementing, monitoring, evaluating, redressing, you know, all that corporate business way of doing things. And, yeah, the other one was on sound financial control system is in place, but already the honorable member has already asked to that. Oh, the other one is the health infrastructure norms and standards. I'm not sure. I know it says infrastructure, but I know last time you said, I stand corrected, that you do have, whether it's a name or system or structure, where you don't only look at the building, the infrastructure. You take the building, you take the staff, you take the equipment, and, you know, but I just want to add to that. The conducive working environment is very important. You can have the structure, the building itself, but if you don't have, for instance, your managers who are trained in terms of dealing with interpersonal relations, such things, management style approaches, we'll all have a lot of people or enough you know, people with good buildings, but you find that everybody's not happy and will still have less quality. You know what I mean? So it's just an addition, this one, or suggestion to say, when you look at all that, let's look at the human factor as well. The, you know, the no, it's not spiritual. Yeah, the human factor. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You know, somebody did a study when I was in Devon. But it was more like a racial study. That's why I didn't really make note that much of it. But they were saying some of Africans, they grow up in rural areas, walking long distances to school, to the fields, to everywhere, eating a certain amount of food. And that was not making them fat, because they were exercising by going to school, by going to the fields, by going to get water. And then suddenly they are staying in big towns, working around towns, but they've not changed the way they are eating. If you eat umngqusho, you still have the full plate of umngqusho as you had it in rural areas. Obviously, and the energy that you are using is far less, because even going to the toilet, you are using a bicycle or a car getting to the toilet, so you're becoming fat. That was the assumption, was that we are becoming fat because we have not changed the way of eating, but we have changed the way we move around. It's just a comment. You don't have to comment on the on that. Okay, I think that was the last one, Umemori. There doesn't seem to be any question, so it's for you, DJ, to answer.
Thank you, honourable members. In response to Mam Luthuli, I would like to say that yes, indeed, the cancer screening, and I'll also link it to what honourable Madam More raised, that the cancer screening is going to be broader. We are also taking into account male, not women's health only, but also male health. The approach we are taking, I think, in the plan, we actually make reference to we highlighted that because we thought it would be important, so that we are not seen to be giving attention to cancer that affect women only. We also consider prostate cancer to be an emerging problem, particularly amongst, we call it men's health, I'm sorry, men's health. We're giving attention to men's health. The point that you raise about contact tracing is the same as active case funding, meaning it's the same. What you are saying is that we need to actively go out there and find TB cases so that we can treat them early. And the early treatment is not just about TB, but it's also about MDR and XDR TB. Chair, the issue about TB and its comorbidity with HIV/AIDS, I think there's a lot of literature that has been published. The epidemiological profile of South Africans that are exposed to tuberculosis, that have TB and that do not have TB. I think you need to also recognize that for those with HIV, they also are at risk of having extrapulmonary tuberculosis. I'm just saying that there's another extenuating circumstance, particularly for people with HIV. What we've been seeing, in particular, I can share some of the journal articles with you of what has been advocated internationally, particularly for those who have comorbidity, to say even the products that are tested, the clinical trial design for people who are exposed to TB who have HIV/AIDS, it is important that you understand the trial design, because it has a significant impact, particularly for those products when they are ready for market, because those communities that are likely to use these products may not respond as effectively as those who do not have comorbidity. And these are the risk elements that we're trying to introduce in the design of clinical trials as part of the program that we're supporting for access to drugs and particularly HIV/AIDS related treatment. Yes, I do acknowledge what is said about PhD and tertiary, that we need to achieve a balance, and but also to say that because we are putting emphasis on the production of the workforce, if you recall, Madam Lithuli, is that we used to give nurses stipends as part of their training program. Now the debates at the moment are whether nurses should be given allowances, whether they should be considered employees versus students. I mean, those are very sensitive discussions. And the reason we have the Nursing Summit is precisely because we want to discuss this. But we do not want to go and discuss and nothing happens thereafter. A question was raised when we met we are going to have a summit. There's been a number of summits before and nothing happens thereafter. What is different this time around about the summit is that we have planned ahead that day one after the summit, something must happen, meaning the summit must be the basis on which we come up with a roadmap to correct the problems that have been identified that are of concern, particularly to nursing education, to the practice of nursing, as well as these issues that have been raised by students. And I think we'd really like to get your support as Parliament as to how we should define a nursing education, particularly with regard to the students. Our view is that if you are a student nurse, you should be considered a bursary holder as a student nurse. But for us to then describe that as an employee, the question is what happens when you fail? Should you still be retained? And what does it mean for services? I'm just raising this so that you can begin to appreciate what it means. So this balance between PhD tertiary is also to address these training issues of nurses. Hospital revitalization, yes, Madam and Honourable Members, the hospital revite, I'm glad to say that we have a very aggressive project management program. We've actually signed agreements with CSIR and DBSA for them to bring in on board their engineers to work with us. But over and above that, we are saying every province must have an engineer. So most of the provinces have now employed engineers. I think there are only four now that must still employ engineers. So 5 out of 9. So the other 4, they're still going to interview their own engineers, meaning we'll have an engineer per province. But what we'd also like to have is clinical technicians. These are people who fix the machines when they're broken. School health, yes, indeed it's important in that we've sort of, like I said, we've broken it down into 3 components. Under a preschool, school health services, primary school and high school, so that we differentiate our interventions. We've just finished work on school health services, and we're going to target specific interventions. We know that there's a problem of risky behavior, which does not apply to primary care level, I mean the primary school level. So there are 29,000 schools in the country. We don't have 29,000 nurses to be available at each school. So the approach we're following is that we will allocate nurses per district or per sub-district, who will then go to those schools in those sub-districts. That's why if you look at our target, we've tried to break them down according to districts and sub-districts, not according to the number of schools, because it will not be manageable to just have a nurse per school. We don't have 29,000 nurses, and it will be difficult to pull them from services. Chair, I would like to then go to the other question of hospital managers. Indeed, they must be at an appropriate level. Appropriate level of and they must have adequate skills and qualification. What we're trying to emphasize is that if people don't have basic skills, and I want to use an example that the minister always uses, that if you are not a surgeon, you can't get into theatre and start cutting people up. And we can't then do on-the-job training. You should be a surgeon before you even get into theatre. So the principle here is that before you even become a hospital manager, you must at least have certain skills about health. And this is the principle. And over and above, you must have management skills, meaning you need both, not one. And well, all what we're saying is that for those who do not have even the basic skills and qualifications, you can't train them on the job. But like it was said earlier, we then have to say how we are going to provide support and training and a program for those people. Honorable Ngobo has left, but I was just going to say for MDGs, we will share the report. We've pulled together experts in the country. These are people who normally determine the indicators for maternal mortality ratio, for infant mortality rates, as well as under five mortality rates, including perinatal as well as child mortality rates. We would like the committee will be releasing a report soon. We'll share that with you. Like I said, some of the figures have been overestimated. And this is not what we are saying, is what the international community is saying. International community has given far more conservative figures than what South African experts have said. Now, if you say the mortality ratios are at 400, and this is what the international community says, and we as South Africa says it's 625, I think we've sort of inflated the number. So we've just pulled together a team to say what is the exact number. Now, as to whether we'll then meet the targets or not, I think it's significant, because that will then be the basis on which we say, yes, for the remaining 4 years, this is where we think we will be. But if you allow me, honorable members, I would like to first have that report. That will be the basis of me then coming back to you to say these are the targets, and I think we will be able or we will not be able to meet them. The registrars, yes, indeed, is already allocated for, and it's in the report, honorable member. For the MNE, we actually started with the developing an MNE system. So we've got a document that we'll share with you. We will send it to the parliamentary secretary. This is the MNE system that we are suggesting we should build. But the system is supposed to have two arms. One is our linkage with the program monitoring and evaluation that is in presidency, because we have to report on a quarterly basis about performance. The second is about reporting as established by Treasury and in line with the Auditor General monitoring system. So we've got two systems of MNE. But the important one is about how are we going to prevent fraud. These are issues, and we have looked at how best we can improve our internal controls, because this is about how we put internal controls in place on financial management. But there are two issues. There's fraud where people steal money, but there's also instances where people do not follow procedures. Now, for those who don't follow procedures, we're actually beginning to put certain systems in place. Chair, we're also introducing very drastic step. When I read the parliamentary report where you commented, you gave responses, because I've gone back to this report to take into account the concerns that you raised in the annual report. One of the things that you expressed here was about the travel in the department, that there was a lot of money was spent on traveling. We've actually introduced a system whereby we're going to cap travel budgets for officials. And we're also going to reorganize the manner in which we interact with provinces. So we've got a policy that we passed on Friday as a collective with the provinces to just reduce unnecessary travel and also ensure that travel is for intended purposes and it can be linked back to the strategic objectives of the organization. So these are some of the measures, and we're in consultation with the unions also to ensure that they understand the principles and why it has to be done, because it's already said here in the report that we have to address that problem. For the rollover, I will ask Acting CFO to respond. Just on the OSD, Chair, I just wanted to say that for radiographers and also for nurses and specialists and medical officers, the bargaining council, the decisions that was taken recently for allied health professionals as well as the junior specialists, medical officers, it was actually those categories that were excluded in the past. That includes, Chair, the registrars. What has happened is that during a period when the OSD was negotiated, the specialists got more money and the junior doctors, the interns, in fact. Now, the junior doctors as well as the junior specialists as well as medical officers were now earning, some of them were earning less than the interns. So they had to go back to the bargaining council and correct that. So that has been corrected. On, for the allied health professionals, we'll just go back and check in the list whether the, I think the radiographers are part of the allied health professionals. So it's a long list. We'll, however, confirm, come back to you with a confirmation. But the radiologists should be part of the specialists, junior specialists, that were originally excluded, but now they're included. Honourable Member More, for the districts, the districts that have been chosen for the pilot, it's Bushbuck Ridge in Mpumalanga, Kenneth Kaunda in Northwest, and Hillbrow in Gauteng. Now these will be the pilots, and then we'll then expand out of following the results. Indeed, the program to actively monitor TB cases, this is the, what is called the directly observe therapy. It's a DOTS program. Yes, DOTS program is mainly to ensure that people who are on TB treatment can get their treatment. As I speak, the Deputy Minister is attending a meeting in Italy. It's about elimination of tuberculosis. This meeting is aimed at looking at whether the research that is underway can help us reduce the what we call pill burden. Pill burden means reducing the number of pills that people are drinking, particularly for TB, meaning the time frame of 6 months should be shortened, but also the number of pills that are swallowed. We've seen that with the HIV/AIDS, the fixed dose combinations, Chair, that they do reduce the burden, particularly if you are on lifelong treatment. It's very difficult to swallow too many pills every day religiously, you know, infinitely. It's a big challenge. So the what is heartening, though, is that South Africa, if we do succeed, Chair, South Africa is doing this research, and we will see what the outcome of the results are. This is one, if we do well, it will be groundbreaking, because we'll be a country that would have discovered a combination therapy for TB to reduce the burden and the timelines. And we're hoping that we can succeed as a country, because we'll inform the world. For the DBSA report, indeed, the admin versus technical, yes, indeed. One of the problems was that, of course, we are working with the PSA, a Department of Public Service Administration, to look at the generic structure that is required in a province, including the structure for hospitals, what structures should be appropriate so that we don't have more admin versus technical personnel. This is work that has just begun, and we're hoping soon we'll be able, we've planned that the results should be shared with the department soon, so that we can also have an opportunity to work with the provinces. So it's a process that involves the provinces, and we're hoping this will be done soon. Indeed, obesity is a problem. It's becoming an even bigger problem in South Africa. And Chair, like you are saying, I think we've got what I call a twin problem, in that we have diseases of affluence and diseases of poverty combined. So in our strategy to respond, when we do our health promotion messages, we have to deal with diseases. Because you see, Chair, if we start with the campaigns of saying, let's cut on McDonald's, let's cut on Coca-Cola and so on, fizzy drinks and so on, for the rural communities, McDonald's is not their problem. Coca-Cola is not their problem. For
for the rural communities is access to proper nutrition. And you've rightly said so, Chair, that because people in rural communities are active, the obesity may not necessarily be their problem, and it becomes a problem when they move and migrate and they become part of eating habits in areas where there's affluence, the McDonald's and your other Kentucky's and so on, Chair. I'm not specifically choosing brands, I'm using examples. I hope you'll understand. I can make a list of all the beggars if I could. Yes, and for sound financial control, like I said, Chair, it would really, really help us if members of parliament take the lead in promoting healthy lifestyles. It will help us a lot, and would really like to get your active support for parliamentary members and everybody else. For the sound financial control, yes, indeed, the reports were shared with you, but I'll give again the CFO. About Zola Hospital, the new contractor is on site for the main hospital. Construction is progressing. We'll then prepare a report, if you want, just on an update with further details. The last one is about the soft issues. Yes, indeed, we need to deal with the soft issues that ensure that the health workforce work in an environment where they can be productive, and the conducive working environment could be emphasized more. We fully agree, Chair. And over to the CFO. Thank you, Chair.
Time is against us, CFO, but
brief.
If you would just brief.
Two issues only, Chairperson. The issue of rollovers. The Honourable Member asked what were the reasons for rollovers in previous years. I'll focus on last year. The main rollover amount for last year was for the revitalization grant, and it was almost 80% of the rollover that we actually requested for. It was about 350 million. And it was because of withheld funds that we could not transfer to KZN, I think Mpumalanga and Northern Cape, because of delays in their projects. The next rollover was mainly for infrastructure related to IT for the National Health, because it was waiting for us to move to Civitas. We have subsequently then moved, and we are using those funds for all the networks for related to IT. And then there was another big amount that we rolled over, 15 million for the audit of the primary health care project. It is currently underway, so that money is being utilized. So those were the key ones. The last one was the TB. There was a rollover of about 1.2 million, mainly because World TB Day is also always on the 24th of March, so the payments could not be made before the end of the financial year. That was the only reason why that money was rolled over. Lastly, with regard to sound financial management, as indicated earlier when we were presenting, we are also concerned at National that we fight for money, not necessarily, literally meaning that we bargain for money for the provinces. Money, when it gets to provincial treasuries, sometimes it reaches the departments of health, sometimes it ends by the provincial treasuries, because there are reprioritization at that level. So this time around, admitting that we have received a lot of money this time, we have put a system in place where we are going to track where the money went to. Hence, I said earlier that we have developed a system. That's why we already know which provinces received these earmarked funds and which ones did not. So we'll be monitoring them on a monthly basis, or at least quarterly, to see how far they are with spending the money for intended purposes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Department. I think CFO, what DG says here, people who are employed in health must have some knowledge of health. But I think yourself, you are protected from that. So they want you, irrespective of not knowing. I think there was a difficulty in mentioning one of the medical terms here. That problem. But don't worry, we are protected, because we want somebody who knows how to tell us about money. So You know, I was talking about rural areas because I'm from rural areas. I came from Eastern Cape and I came to Cape Town. And I started developing a tummy when I got to Cape Town. When I was in Eastern Cape, there was no tummy. So that's why I know that this problem of coming to big towns and still having the same food. Department, I think you can get from everybody that everybody is happy with what you have told us. The only thing is you must make sure that what you have told us, you are going to do. And we are going to be monitoring you on what you have told us that you are going to do. So we accept your strike plans. Much as we still feel that the department doesn't have the budget that we would like it to have. But the budget that you have got, I think it's fair for this particular year. And we tend to think as a committee that you actually put it where it's supposed to be. Even your restructuring, we think that it's going to take us very far. I think we definitely need to look at amending the law on devices and drugs, because those are two different things. But if that is law, these are the people who make laws. Probably it's something that we need to discuss and debate and see whether we don't need to do that, because devices are costing us a lot of money after the drugs, yet we don't seem to be having any authority that is regulating them. Everybody is doing as they wish. There are certain reports, DJ, that would like you to give us. That TB report, I think if you can afford us an opportunity to have a look at it, even the registrar's report, we know the money that you're going to put in, but even the statistics, and where are these registrars placed? Because as we're talking about, when we talk about rural employment, we're not only talking about those who are professionals, even those who are registered are still training, and even specialists for that matter. That this is why people were thinking that tertiary services needed to be taken by national, so that you could put people, you don't have one dermatologist in Eastern Cape, yet there are 10 dermatologists in Cape Town. So you need to make sure that the whole country has got that. Even that report of breastfeeding, I think a few people know that purely breastfeeding in somebody who's HIV positive is good. And pure formula feed without combining with breastfeeding actually protects the baby. But when you try into both, then you create problems. But if we could get that report as a committee, probably that would help us. These are sort of the recommendations that we're going to be making. Thank you very much. I was asking myself a question. Is it the minister who's got a passion, or is it the DJ? But it seems as if both of them, everybody, it's a good marriage that we are actually getting. But we are not sure whether this marriage, there are more condoms, more female condoms or more male condoms, but it's a good marriage. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, members, thank you very much. Department, thank you very much. Don't quote. I hope there's no journalists who are going to quote some of the things that I said at the end. Are you a journalist? Are you a journalist? Okay.
It's just something for the DG to think about. Just a comment.
Order.
I once opened a can of worms where I worked, and you know, I was sidelined because of that. I was doing this hospital management, and one of my queries was, should hospital managers be medical people, as in doctors, or administrative people? So as you go along, coming with that restructuring, think about along those lines. Because I've always compared Johannesburg with Barra. Johannesburg Hospital beat us because they had a combination. With us, we had all doctors. When the doctor is the CEO, he will pull up all the doctors into administration. You know what I mean? And you find that there's no balance in terms of finance. For instance, maybe just to quote something, our financial manager used to be in loggerheads with the CEO, because the financial manager will talk about PFMA, the CEO will talk about service delivery. You know, you find that at Barra we do so much work, especially these expensive operations. You find that you need one utensil that costs 30,000 or, you know, 50 for just this one person, you know what I mean? So there used to be lots of arguments. So when you do your restructure, think about those things to say, because at some stage they introduced deputy CEOs, but I'm not sure where that ended. So I thought that they will balance to say, if the CEO is admin, that is financial sound person, then the deputy should be medical. So the two can, you know, talk to each other. So this is just...
Thank you. Thank you, Memory. But one thing that you must know, TJ, is that if there's a family of arrogant, are we close? Arrogant people is the doctors. You must always watch out. Doctors are very arrogant. Okay, thank you very much for meeting you.